Translation of this verse. Therefore, any person who seriously desires real happiness must seek out a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. It says in Sanskrit, Jigyasam Shriya Uttamam. That is someone who really wants to know about the highest good. No, the highest good, the ultimate good, the ultimate solution to the dilemma of being in this world of birth and death. No, this describes the qualification of the disciple. He must be eager, very inquisitive, go to the highest good. Then the qualifications of the spiritual master are given. The qualification of the bona fide guru is that he has realized the conclusions of the scriptures by deliberation and is able to convince others of these conclusions. Such great personalities who have taken shelter of the Supreme Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations, should be understood to be bona fide spiritual masters. So, when we are very eager, sincerely desirous to get the Shreya Uttamam, the highest benefit, then we must go to a spiritual master who has the following qualifications. He has to have them. He must have realized something about the scriptures. He has realized the conclusions of the scriptures by deliberation. No, it's not just book knowledge, it's realized knowledge. And he must be able to convince others of these conclusions. And you can see he must have left aside all material considerations, the world of the sense gratification, the world of Maya. Translating this now, this is an ancient verse into our today's ceremony. There are devotees who have become inquisitive for the Shreyam Uttamam, the highest good. That's their life has, and they are now taking initiation in a line. I think it's very important for me to stress this. It's not a person, just the person Satchinandan Swami, who's a very insignificant man. Yes, no, it is a line where this wonderful knowledge is handed down. Which is there to support the devotee. There is a very nice analogy which can show us why it is important, not for everyone, only for those who want the highest good, really, for those to have an initiation. The disciple needs nourishment. We all need nourishment on our path. And we also need some direct experience, some direct reciprocation with the Lord. We all know this. There is no greater joy for us as devotees than we go to the deities, we pray to them for some difficult question, and it seems that the deities are answering us by giving a realization in our heart, and just to convince us, flower drops, and we know at this moment, wow, this was an answer of the Lord. Direct reciprocation is important. In the traditional mind of the Vedas, the disciple is compared to a lotus flower who needs two things to grow. It needs the Son of God, Lord Krishna, but it also needs the nourishment from down, means from below. And that nourishment comes from the guru and the old tradition, which was brought to us by our main birth master, Srila Prabhupada, who is this the very shining, brilliant personality. So, when you have a lotus flower, but there's only the sun, it burns and withers. If you have a lotus flower and there's only the water, it rots and begins to stink after some time. It dies. For the growth of a lotus flower, for the unfolding of its potentialities, it requires sun and water, or God and the help of the spiritual master and his lineage. Very important. Both is necessary. Not just one. Then the unfolding of the heart, the hridaya, can take place, and the Lord can manifest in the heart of the in the fully blossomed heart of the disciple. Throughout the life, this remains important. A relationship to Krishna as his servant, and a relationship to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada and his and all this wonderful sampradaya. This is help. It is there. To take initiation in the spiritual master means to take on help. It's not a torture of committing oneself to a person. No, you need the water to grow, and you need a constant supply from the water. Today we are giving Harinam initiation, and I understand two devotees have also taken Hari from His Holiness Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj. And you have taken Brahminical initiation, Harinam initiation, both of you. We have Brahmins here, Brahminical, all only first. Good, that makes it that means less time needs to be said. My own initiation took place on the streets of Hamburg. And I was distributing books. It was not going very well because it was a cold day and foggy, and everyone was moody, including myself. Then our temple president came with a blue aerogram and said, "A letter for you, Sachinandan, from Srila Prabhupada." It was, of course, opened because everyone was very curious to know whatever Prabhupada said. And that was an acceptable cultural habit. It was agreed. It was, yes, Prabhupada wrote. It was common good what he wrote. So, and he said, "Guess what? Prabhupada has accepted you as your disciple, as his disciple." I said, "Really?" He said, "It's here." And then we read the letter. And, I don't want to get emotional, but I'm very fortunate to be accepted like this. So, in this letter, Prabhupada wrote something which he wrote numerous other letters, and I've studied a few of these letters because they make clear what is our idea of initiation. What is this initiation? And here are some reoccurring lines. It means they always come, or reoccurring points. They're always there. And it's very nice for us to hear them again. Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shishi Sita Ram Lakshman Han Numan ki jai, Shishi Gonitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Prabhupada said, I'm depending on you, the disciples, to assist Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission for saving humankind. Srila Prabhupada initiated us into a mission, a wonderful, fortunate mission which spreads good fortune to all living entity. And then he described what he expected of those he had initiated. He said, the process is simple. Chant at least 16 rounds daily and observe the four regulative principles with determination. And then he explained sometimes, not in all initiation letters, why this is the simple process of chanting every day a certain amount of holy names on your Japamala and taking help of the observance of four simple principles, how this works. He said, when the Hare Krishna mantra vibrates on your tongue and you are hearing attentively, then your consciousness becomes clear or Krishna conscious. And there is no question of Maya or hazy consciousness. Yes? At another time he says, when you chant the holy name, you associate with Krishna. And if you do this attentively, not inattentively, then your consciousness in the association of the Lord will become clear and there will be no more Maya consciousness. And he gave an analogy which illustrates why this works. He says, when light and darkness come together, the darkness cannot stand before the light. So Maya cannot remain in the presence of Krishna. When you chant, maybe you have already noted, it's like light and darkness. From your inner darkness comes your material thoughts, your attachments maybe, your worries, your anxieties.
Water?
And light also comes, the Krishna in the form of his holy name. And the question is, to whom will you give attention? If you give attention to the inner darkness, that will come, that will stay. If you give attention to Krishna, then the light will spread and the darkness will go. It's very important. He also said, simply follow the regulative principles with determination. That will keep you from all attachments to Maya by Krishna's grace. So we follow these four regulative principles. Then this attachment to Maya and Maya's influence will wane. And by Krishna's mercy, we will become victorious over this illusory potency, this illusory energy. So in giving initiation, Srila Prabhupada saw the potential. By chanting, he saw one can directly associate with the Supreme Lord, and then chanting will take us on a spiritual journey which will end in the realization of Krishna. There is time is there. The stages are you chant offensive, and at that time Krishna will not manifest himself so much. It's like when there is clouds before the sun, like it is customary in England, then the sun rays cannot be perceived so much. So when you chant with offenses, then the Krishna's sun, the light, is not present really. It's covered by the cloud of your offenses. But as you go on and avoiding the 10 offenses, you come to a clearing stage where this effect takes place, where the light of God will disperse the darkness of Maya. That will happen by his mercy. And finally, when you go in this journey, you will there will be no darkness left. You will be a God-intoxicated Hare Krishna devotee. You will be very, very filled with divine symptoms, which you will observe in your life, inner and outer symptoms, because you are experiencing the absolutely ecstatic presence of the Lord in your heart. So as you go on this journey with the holy name, which will bring you to the Lord, it's very important to make a sincere effort to bring the offenses away in your life. It's very important. If you do not make the sincere effort to go against the offenses, it just doesn't work. It's like igniting a fire but pouring water at the same time. It will not be satisfactory. Your life experience will not be satisfactory in your Krishna consciousness. At the root of all these offenses is inattention. If you chant Krishna's name but are inattentive to him, that really shows I don't care for you. Really, I'm really not interested in you. So imagine you receive a guest and you turn a cold shoulder. I think that's how you say in England, I turn a cold shoulder on you. I didn't understand how it's cold. The shoulder has body temperature. But in England we say to turn a cold shoulder means being inattentive. That's the root of all the other problems, which all the other clouds, all the other fog, all the other haziness which comes. And now Haridas Thakur says that simply by one's own effort, it's not possible to control the restless mind and chant attentively. It's not possible to do this on your own. Because if on our own effort we could just turn to Krishna, then everything would be easy. But we are conditioned souls. We are bound. We are overwhelmed by the two shaktis of Maya, the covering and the throwing potency. We are very much struggling, so our own effort is not sufficient. Therefore, Haridas Thakur says, I must beg to you for your help, my Lord. And then, by your mercy, the defeat or the victory over the mind is possible. By your mercy. So, this brings me to my last point. My dear initiates of the past, my dear initiates of the present time, my dear initiates of the future, this path of Krishna consciousness will only work if you surrender to Krishna. Even chanting and becoming in a way that it works, not just mechanical chanting like an arctic machine. You know, in India they have this They put on the Arctic machine, and then it's a machine which makes ging, ging, gong, gong, ging, ging, gong, gong, ging, ging, gong, gong. That is not active spiritual life. You know, the Arctic machine doesn't need initiation. It's just a thing which needs oil, you know, to work, and no power cut, you know. But we are human beings, you know, we are conscious. And for us, this means surrender to Krishna, turning to Krishna. Krishna is asking us to surrender. Let us believe him that he will protect us. He says in the Gita so clearly, Savadamang, give up all these other things. Just surrender to me. I will protect you. Do not fear. When he says like this, but we take surrender somewhere else. We don't surrender to Krishna. Our spiritual life will be gloomy. Gloomy. Gloomy means dark. This means we have no faith in Krishna. We just say it. We must believe in Krishna, what he says, and then Krishna will protect us. This is an initiation ceremony so wonderfully directed by my exalted God brother, Kripa Maya Prabhu, started with bowing down. Don't forget to bow down in your life, past, present, and future. Surrender. Go to Krishna. Inside of us, we have a rebellious mind. We don't want to bow down to Krishna. We don't want to surrender. But I will ask you in the words of Prabhupada, find out, where shall I be happy even by bowing down? That is Krishna. You are meant for bowing down. If you bow down to Krishna and his representative, you become happy. Test this. Test this. Prabhupada wants to not just say it. He says, test this. Find this out. Huh? So this path of initiation starts with surrender to Krishna. And even the process of chanting the holy name, even the process of following four regulative principles will work only with this ingredient, the surrender to Krishna. Because how can we cannot on our own control the mind and the senses. They are so strong and so on. But with Krishna, no problem. No problem. You can bring light in a cave which has millions of years darkness, a history of millions of years darkness in the cave. The light can just dispel the darkness, even if it's millions of years old. So the light of Krishna, the coming into our lives, and that reciprocation with Krishna will make this process successful by the mercy of his representative, Srila Prabhupada. It will work. Prabhupada had this hope. He saw this potentiality in every one of us. And there are wonderful success stories which show that this works. I request all the Vaishnavas now to go in their hearts. You know what the journey is. You know it has ups and downs, unexpected bends and turns. But you kindly now look in your heart for whatever good wishes you can find for our six initiates. And please bless also Kripa Maya Prabhu and myself. We also want blessings and everyone. Please go in the heart, in your heart, and sincerely wish the devotees all the best. We will have just, I will now speak, stop speaking in a moment. That means for you to not fall asleep then, but to go in your heart, find good wishes, and then pray for these wonderful souls that they may become victorious in their spiritual life by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. Hare Krishna. Let us all raise our hands and as we are accustomed in our loud movement to chant loudly, Gaura Premanandi, Hare Hare Go. Hare Krishna.